Hi, hello again, friends, and welcome into another wonderful edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, episode 45, season 2, episode 11, this one titled Kansas Kyle at the Half Mile. I don't know who came up with that, but that was good, boys, that was good. I'm Logan Loganity Morris, or whatever's left of him, and I did not invent attitude, I just perfected it back in 1995. Luckily, I don't do it alone. We thank the Lord for that. I'm joined tonight by a Canadian combo. We'll get it started with the show creator himself, a man who, like, the creative juices are literally flowing at like 5 a.m. Eastern time. How do I know? I was talking to him this morning. Let's bring him in here. Adam Carabine, come on in.
Hello, Logan. Now, tell me, were you born in 1995?
I was born in 1995.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so old. So
look at
old.
My life, I'm not like you were. Oh,
that hurts. That hurts. But it's good to see you, Logan.
Freddie tuning in says that finish at Kansas was wild. Definitely worth the wait. Absolutely, it was, Freddie. And Thank you, as always, for tuning in. We appreciate your loyal viewership and participation, especially. And I mean that very genuinely. Freddie's a big leaguer. All right, I said I'm joined by the Canadian combo, but because since he's a special guest, he's going to go last. So let's bring in the best-looking woman on the dais. She is beautiful. She is kind. She is soft-spoken. And she's in here. How you doing?
What do you mean, strange?
A little bit. Okay. Wow. All right. Any other things to say here before we get going?
Let's bring in our special guest.
Well, she's gonna talk. Hold on here.
Is she?
You got something?
I was just gonna tell Adam that I was born in 97.
Yeah.
Make him feel older.
That's really upsetting.
All right. Well, I'm glad that we've started out the show on such a positive note. That's wonderful. Anywho, let's bring in the other half of the Canadian combo that is for the evening. Subbing in again for the best man is the savant of the staff, right? The 32nd man himself. That's right. Bring him on in here, Matt Marr.
Hey guys, thanks for having me again. Also, Adam, I'm also born 95. My birthday is actually coming up this Friday. So don't knock on us young folk.
95 pounds, bro. Woo! Yes, sir.
And then Freddie was born in 1999.
Oh.
Holy Dinah.
Holy Dinah. I like that. Can we cut that out? Holy Dinah.
We need a new catchphrase now.
Holy Dinah. We need there, Peter, there's the Adam Carabine shirt. Holy Dida.
Holy Donna.
Holy my Dida. Boy. All right. Matt, welcome back. How was your week before we get started? You good? Everything all right?
We's good. We's busy. 32nd read is now posted up as of last night. I think midnight-ish 1 a.m. maybe my time. I got that thing out as flippy quick as I could, because that thing was can't miss it. The must read.
That incredible race.
Just fantastic. I will say, like, after that finish, my jaw was unhinged. It was dropped. I had to literally physically lift it off, like, from the ground. After it was there for 5 minutes, like, it's just, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it was incredible. And let's get more into that, producer Peggy. We'll see you real soon. Let's get into our weekend review. All right. Well, I got to tell you, folks, I'm going to be honest with you here because I'd like to shoot straight. I didn't watch truck race. I was working.
Well, that was shameful. Usually when I work on nights, even when the truck race or Xfinity race is on Saturday, I tend to multitask and we'll watch it while I'm working. Logan. So
I hear Ryan Hill. How are you, brother? Come on in here. Come on in here. Let's have a hug. I know he's struggling right now. His boy Joey Logano is in the doldrums, baby. Yeah. They are in the doldrums, and he is. Do you end done with this season, man?
He is. I just gotta say, I think Joey's luck on, like, the even numbered years of him, like, you know, winning a bunch and, you know, being a championship favorite, this is kind of the odd one out. I don't know if this is gonna be a downhill stride for him going forward, because every even year up until now has just been, you know, fantastic. You know, 2018, 2022. And yeah, Ryan, if I was a Logano fan, I would be the same boat as you.
Oh, he was getting hot under the collar, boys, when things were going just south, as they have been for Ford all season. Mr. Marr, any thoughts on that truck race before we move in depth to the cup race?
It was definitely
prime time
indeed. Also, just I guess polar opposites in terms of the cup race and with respect to the amount of passing that was being done, and just it was a good race, I will say, but it was just pure dominance by Corey Heim in the later stages of it, and just. He's truly poking, like, standing himself above the rest of the field to be the number one guy in the Toyota camp, the end guy now, that's coming up. I truly believe he's going to get a shot next inning next year. And we'll say a little shout out. He was running in top 20 all day in the cup race until he spun a checkered flag. But, you know, I can't say any, like, I can't say a negative thing about Corey Heim, especially in truck series. He's just outstanding, so respectable. Like hasn't shown a dirty move all season, at least from what I've seen, and he's learning from the best.
And look, we stand Corey Heim here for no particular reason at all. I promise. Why are you laughing, Adam? Ryan Hill.
I know what that means.
The truck race was miserable for me as well. Ty Majeski fan here, and he was done after lap one. Yeah, I'll tell you what. If Ryan Hill didn't have bad luck so far this season as a fan, he wouldn't have any luck at all, ladies and gentlemen. He wouldn't have any luck at all. He is so downtrodden with the 2024 NASCAR season. He told me during, and I don't mean to make a private conversation public, Ryan, but you told me if Denny wins again – yesterday, you went, I'm done. Done. He gave me a double done, and so I was like, well, I don't want to see him pass Lee Petty either, but I don't know if I'd be done. So Ryan Hill, a man after my own heart, saying it's baseball season. I'll tell you, that's what I didn't think we'd ever say that hear that from him. Amazing. But no, good for Corey Heim. We know he's a top prospect of the Toyota pipeline. And it's interesting, today Bob Pockrish released a huge article on foxsports.com. Of course, we all respect Bob, and if you don't respect Bob, check your engine, give it some gas, because Bob's a big legger. He puts us all to shame. Football season is coming. Yeah, it is, Freddie. Football season is coming. We're ready over here. We are Penn State, baby. But let's back to this. Corey Heim is a major prospect. Is there any chance that if MTJ were to opt out, that this is his last year? Because Bob talked about it a little bit. There's no decision made. We're not close to a decision. Is there any chance that Corey Heim, especially now that he's dipped the big toe at least in the Cup Series and done pretty well in the 43, all things considered. Is there any chance that Corey Heim could be the guy to replace MTJ if MTJ opts to not come back in 2025? Adam, for obvious reasons, I'm going to start with you.
I think it's, first of all, too soon to prognosticate about the future of the 19, because I think...
prognosticate, big word.
Can you explain what that word means, like for us young folk here?
I don't know. Is that the right word? Yeah. Foretell a prophecy or a future event. Anyways, it's too early. Martin Trix Jr. is notoriously not in a huge rush to make that decision. I think, that decision making gets in the way of his weekly fishing trips in between races. And so I don't know. I think it's too soon to say, oh, he's for sure not coming back, or he is for sure coming back. However, I don't think Corey Heim is the immediate choice for the 19. I see something more like John Hunter Nemechek moving over to the 19, and maybe Corey Heim moving into that 42.
Interesting thought, Matt. Before we move on to the Cup Series, what are your thoughts? Could Corey Heim be the new favorite to take over for MTJ if MTJ were to opt for this to be his final season?
I am not a fan of drivers skipping over series to immediately get to Cup Series, from trucks to Cup. But he's shown a lot of promise so far. But I also think he should have that necessary step of stepping into a similar vehicle with the Xfinity Series ride. I know it's a little bit different of a different beast where it's not a similar car like the previous generation, the Gen 6 Cup car was. But you're going from a super the truck beast is totally different to what the Xfinity Series car is. But you're jumping from trucks to Cup immediately. I don't know. So far, he's been able to hold his own. We've seen in the limited starts right now with Dover and Kansas, running top 25, top 20, keeping it clean off the wall, gaining respect of his peers. I don't want to say right away he's going to be in a Cup car anytime soon. I would like to see him take that step like John Hunter did and say drive for Joe Gibbs in the Xfinity Series in that 20 car or 19, whatever that number he gets into. Just to give him the experience on, a little bit longer races, give him more experience with more veteran drivers who even step down to that, like, when Kyle Busch steps down into Xfinity rides, or, when you see Larson, Byron, jump at that 17 Hendrick car, give him more experience doing that stuff. But I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say he's not a guy that I'll keep it on, because I think he's one to keep an eye on for a Cup ride in the future, whether it is replacing Martin Truex in the next year, two, three, whenever he decides to hang it up, because, we've even seen in the past couple of years where Martin Truex has been up in the air about it. And then you also have a question of, what's Denny's next move? Does he go over to his actual race team in 2311, or does he, quits altogether in the next couple of years? Those things have yet to be solidified. So he's one to watch in my mind, but I don't think he's. I don't like the fact that we're already talking about him jumping into a full time Cup ride.
Yeah, interesting to think about. I know it is probably putting the cart before the horse, but all kidding aside, two starts for Legacy Motor Club in the 43, and he's done pretty well, all things considered. And if it wasn't for some bad luck, you might be talking a couple of top 20s and maybe even top 15s. So it is worth considering, because we know the 19 would be much better equipment. So if you're doing that well in Legacy Motor Club, Could you do even better for Joe Gibbs? Well, you know, time will tell on that sort of thing. Again, maybe just a little too soon to think about, but worth thinking about nonetheless. Speaking of worth thinking about, let's talk about that cup race. Kyle Larson wins in the closest NASCAR race ever. Move over Ricky Craven and Kurt Busch. Y'all had a good run. Y'all had a real good run. But we saw the closest finish in NASCAR history, ladies and gentlemen. In NASCAR history, in the great now 76 years going on in this sport, this was as close as we've ever come. Adam, I'm going to start with you. Thoughts on the finish? What say you?
Yeah, I think, first of all, just super exciting. What an amazing finish to what was really a great race. I know it. There was a bit of a lull in the middle there when we got all those cautions in a row, but honestly, it was a great race from the start and a perfect way to finish it off. I think there's, you know, part of me that was a little sad to not see Chris Buescher take the victory. Especially, I just hate to see, you know, his team celebrating, thinking they got it, and then it, having it taken away. That's always a little sad. And I don't know, Kyle Larson's got many more wins, and it's, you know, I guess you root for the underdog a little bit easier. But honestly, there's not much else you can say about that finish other than just props to both of them for keeping it straight and keeping it. I know they were banging doors a little bit there, but it was, you know, no one spun out, no one crashed. It was as clean as you can get when you're, you know, 100 yards from the finish line. And yeah, props to Kyle Larson for just somehow sticking his tongue out at the end, just like just like Lightning McQueen there. So yeah, it was something.
You know, you mentioned being clean, and Matt, I'll come to you to start this conversation, but Chris Buescher seemed to suggest on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, and I gotta tell you, I thought it was a Busch League move on his part to go to Twitter and complain that maybe that he wasn't raced clean. And I didn't like that because I like when you're letting it all hang out for a win. And he didn't wreck it. You know, he did all he could without completely wrecking him to let it all hang out for a win. And I want a driver to do that. But, Matt, I want your thoughts. And, Freddie, I want your thoughts. As he says, he was hoping for Chris to win, but it was still a good finish as it was. Do you think that Chris Buescher has a right to complain about the way he was raced at the end? I personally don't. What say you?
I don't think he has the right to complain. I understand the frustration about it. You know, he got doored in at the start finish line, basically when they were coming to the checkered. But he pinched Larson all the way up in turn four coming out of the corner. You know, trying to do when he can slow the momentum down. Sure, he didn't wreck him, didn't, you know, turn himself into him, but did everything he could. But I mean, like, all the way from that last restart, you know, with two to go, Larson had the better run off the two to gain momentum. Chris did what he could to try to block. You know, he made a mistake from the get-go of keeping that top side open for Larson. He's been good all night up there. Even Chris was good up there too, but why wouldn't you take that air away from the beginning? And so, you know, you're coming up turn three and four, pinching the guy that's trying to steal this win from you. You know, I would expect, you know, something back, and maybe not so much as a severe of a door, like two door bangs like that simultaneously, like back to back. But to come that close, I don't know. I think it was just hard racing to the very end. It's good that it didn't actually wreck, but seeing how also you saw Chase Elliott and Martin Truex come basically right behind them, if they did end up wrecking, well, I think we would be talking about a bigger scenario, bigger wreck altogether. And I think we still talk about Larson being the winner, though, regardless. He had the momentum coming out of four afterwards, even with the door bang. And just looking at it, like, at that finish, we're thinking, you know, what does Chris have to do to really prevent it? He almost has to really just put him in the wall. He didn't do that. And him complaining on Twitter is just, I don't know, it seems childish. I get the frustration of losing just by not even an inch, really. And I see people complaining, you know, the start-finish line is not exactly start-finish line, because but then we saw the actual camera footage from pit road and zooming in. We saw where both Chris and Kyle were. You know, there is like half an inch between splitters. So I don't know. It's all together. I just thought the finish was good hard racing. It's the closest I think we'll ever see in a NASCAR race in the history, like probably the rest of the history of the sport. I know myself, and I think probably everyone else in the grandstands watching the race, we're all cheering for Chris Buescher and RFK. But the reality is we had a clear winner in Kyle Larson at the end of the day.
I do want to hop in there for a sec and just, I don't know if this is like Chris Buescher backpedaling, but I'm just looking at his Twitter account, 'cause I hadn't seen that. Yeah, he did start by saying as much poop emoji as you might get, Denny Hamlin. You've always raced me clean. Great battle today. And I think people took that as him throwing some shade at Kyle Larson. But then he followed it up saying, to be clear, no shade at Kyle Larson. We were banging doors all the way to the checkered. He's one heck of a racer. And that was just two drivers going for the trophy with a thumbs up. So I don't know if that's just like some PR spin after or I mean, but either way, I don't know. He might have
face right there. That's a good old fashioned about face. There's no other reason to tweet the first tweet if you're not implying that you thought you were raced a little dirty, even if you didn't really feel that way, but the frustration got the better of you. And I think that's what happened. All kidding aside. And I get that. Like, you came literally.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
Centimeter short of getting not your first one of the year, Ford's first one of the year.
Now he's speaking our language, Matt. He's talking centimeters.
Oh, I'm sorry. I work at a hardware store. I use both Imperial and metric. So,
but I do. I think it was Busch League on his part. I don't buy that. I think that is the spin cycle, baby. That's my estimation. Maybe I'm wrong. I sure could be. I just rarely am.
I will note seeing the battle between Hamlin and Buescher, like in the latter of the final stage, just going back and forth, swapping the lead. That was fun to watch.
Absolutely.
And that was probably some of the cleanest racing I've seen. You know, don't want to, you know, just point fingers at Hamlin, but like in recent races we've seen with Hamlin on mile and a half. You know, just swapping those leads, going back and forth, taking the high line, walking the air, doing what they had to do to keep it clean. And I thought we were even going to have a few mileage race up until that last caution.
Yeah, that was, you know, Truex Jr. was looking pretty good there until
I thought this race had everything you could possibly want. If you wanted long green flag runs, it was there. If you wanted some calamity, there was some of that too. And then if you want an incredible finish that's going to be talked about, frankly, through the ages, you got that. I think you saw in many ways in this one race, you saw three different types of racing and types of races. And I think if you watch the whole race, no matter what type of race fan you are, especially NASCAR, there's a lot of different segments of what that, you know, it's a big buffet of fans as far as what they want to see. I think you got what you wanted to see. You just had to wait. It was kind of like inconsistent weather. You had to wait 5 minutes to get there, but man, did you. And so Kansas has become one of my favorite tracks on the schedule, given the kind of racing it's putting on this next gen car. Really, really exciting stuff. All right, Madam, we'll start with you here. Any final thoughts on Kansas before we move it along?
In regards to this next gen car, I am definitely agreeing with Kyle Larson's statement in Victory Lane saying that we need more mile and a half for this car. I understand wanting to fix the short track package, but my God, we have something special for these mile and a half. And I was listening to SiriusXM, the NASCAR channel there, and, you know, I forget who was talking about it, but they even said, like, this is like the golden era right now for mile and a half, mile and a half racing for this next-gen car. Like, this is the best we've ever seen. Will it get better? We don't know, because we may have some changes coming about in the near future. But it's a super fun time to be watching, these so-called cookie cutter tracks, getting these exciting finishes.
Look, I completely agree. For the mile and a half, we are in some sort of sweet spot, golden era, whatever term you want to use. The short track packages, we all know, leaves a lot to be desired. I mean, a lot. It's like asking for a combo meal and getting one French fry. But Adam, any final thoughts on Kansas before we move it along?
I'm not sure if Ryan is still with us. I wanted to I don't know if you're allowed to shamelessly self-promote here, but I just wanted to share this tweet that I put out over the weekend during that race in regards to Joey Logano needing a tow truck again. It was just...
Ooh.
I'm in danger.
Oh, yeah. I also...
When I saw he needed a tow truck, first thing I thought of was him cussing about like him.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought, too. Like, I thought I'm going to fly down. Like, oh, no, don't get the record.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God. He's going to flip out. Oh,
man. He's never going to live that down.
Especially because he's having such a lackluster season.
I know, so yeah.
Like, he's going to flip out and just be so frustrated. So, interesting to think about.
That's a good laugh.
We'll see if Joey Logano and Ford as a whole can turn it around. They're still looking for that elusive first win, and not just the Cup Series, which would be kind of bad enough. Looking for it in all three series. So we'll see if they get off the schneid this weekend. All right, let's keep moving it along, and that means we got to talk about our happy hour headlines. Okie dokie, boys. There's a lot to get to today, so let's be sure to do it. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. re-upped with JTG Doherty Racing for 2 years, and that's kind of surprising, given they're in the midst of transition as an ownership.
Oh, did we lose Logan there for a second?
Probably
there. Yeah, well, I'll pick up where he left off there. Oh, but,
back.
There he is.
Hey,
there we go. I was just gonna say, I'm not even sure JTG Doherty is around next year. Like, that's I hope he doesn't have any sort of like clause in there that says if the team shuts down, he can't drive for anyone else. Like, there's talk about them losing a big sponsor in Kroger.
They've been rumors about the charter, they've been selling the charter,
I don't know. That's a wild one. I mean, good for him, I guess, for loyalty to that team, but
I'm glad that he's got commitment, but I'm assuming with the contract signed, there's some sort of backdoor new sponsor that no one knows about yet, or something that makes sure that they have funding for next year.
Well, and I guess the question is too, like, does Ricky Stenhouse Jr. have a place anywhere else in the Cup Series? Like, if JTG Doherty is saying, hey, we'll sign you again for 2 more years, I don't know if he's getting a ton of other offers. You know, I think that's, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to him, I just don't know if he's in high demand as a silly season free agent. So I get it, I guess, from his point. It's, you know, take it when you can, but I don't know if that's, I don't know if they're around in 2 years, that's for sure.
Well, I don't know. He doesn't have the resume to meet us to kind of stick out to say, hey, I'm, a Joe Gibbs caliber driver. I'm a Hendrick driver. I'm even an RCR driver now, with how they've kind of have been a bit of a renaissance lately. But I don't know. He's got 2 wins to his name, being, both on plate tracks, Talladega and Daytona. He's consistent enough to, get you a top 10s, get you top 15s, to kind of give it a TV time if you have sponsors to showcase. But he hasn't proven to me that he's a consistent winner to sign to, like, extensive contracts.
This is going to be a bit of a hot take here, but I mean, certainly I think he's proven that he deserves a Cup ride more than, say, and again, hot take, no disrespect here, but we're bringing the opinions, than, say, Ryan Preece. I mean, certainly, I think he's proven more than Ryan Preece has, who continues to. We'll see what happens. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But I I agree with you, Matt, and you, Adam, that he doesn't deserve a top caliber Cup ride. But I have a hard time saying that Ricky Stenhouse is not one of the best drivers in the sport and doesn't deserve a Cup ride.
No, so, I do. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve a Cup ride. I'm just saying he's not eligible. To me, he's not deserving of, you know, the Hendrick, the RCR, the Joe Gibbs.
Kind I'd of. Put him in. I'd put him in the three right now versus Austin Dillon.
Yeah, fair.
I'm just saying.
Now, what if Austin Dillon was your grandson? Just hypothetically speaking.
It's a business, all right? It's a business. I can still love you and help you, give you a number opportunity in the Xfinity Series or something.
I agree.
But as far as the Cup Series goes, it's a results-driven business. It is at all three levels, but it's especially true in the Cup Series. But
I suppose what I should say, sorry, I don't want to say I think that Ricky Stenhouse Jr. does not deserve any sort of offer in the Cup Series. I don't know if there's any chance of him getting a better offer than a two-year deal with JTG. Yeah, that's what I should say.
That's probably fair. That's probably
even
fair.
With someone like Ryan Preece, like, yeah, I guess SHR would be seen as a bit of a step up, even if, like, I mean, I know we're about to talk about SHR too, and there's question marks there for sure, but I think SHR would see that and say, well, we already are invested in Ryan Preece. We know where he's at, and we know how to help him get better, whereas Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is kind of, you know, an unknown property for them. So,
but here's what helps his resume. And again, this is all moot because he signed the deal, right? But if for some reason the team goes under, then it matters again.
That's true.
Is he bodes something that a lot of free agents don't nowadays, and that's wins to the resume. And I mean, yeah, plate track, I get it. Things happen. Wins are wins. And so there's a lot of guys that go, look, you know, if Ryan Preece is out of a job, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. Matter of fact, we'll transition here. But if Ryan Preece is out of a job, he does not bode any wins to his resume to come bring with him and say, hey, I deserve a shot. Speaking of SHR, let's talk about it. According to that again, huge article from Bob Pockers on FoxSports.com, SHR has sent out the preliminary info on buying a charter. Now, is that multiple charters? Is that one charter? I can't tell you. Bob didn't disclose it. But certainly that would point to confirm the rumors that we're looking to downsize. You know, any new thoughts on that one, Matt?
I'm just wondering if that had anything to do with the study session that Ryan Preece wasn't aware of. You know, if he's being kept out of the loop of certain things, you know, not getting the information for his team, and, you know, being involved exclusively on certain meetings. He's the odd man out. And honestly, I thought he performed better when he was with JTG than the 37 a few years ago than he is now. I mean, heck, if they don't sell the charter, let's do a driver swap. Give Ricky Stenhouse in the 41 and get Ryan Preece back in JTG, see how he does. You know, we know JTG has that Hendrick alliance with the engine package. And like I said, like I mentioned with Ricky Stenhouse, you know, he does boast top 10s, top 15s on a consistent basis for that team, whereas Ryan Preece doesn't. And, you know, he, in comparison to how, I know the fewer gap, but in comparison to how Ryan Preece raced at Kansas for JTG, I think it was back in 2017, 2018, something like that, maybe 19. In comparison to the last couple of years at SHR, it's a total of 180. He was fighting for top 10s at Kansas with JTG, you know, barely cracked the top 20, 25, something like that this past weekend. So, I don't know. I think he's the obvious odd man out, and SHR should really cut their losses with him at the end of the year. I don't know if it's just the team performance, if it's the driver performance, or just the lack of funding to get for that one car. But
could be a combination of everything. We'll see what happens. Look, I've said it's clear that SHR needs some changes. I know that I have some facetious fun even with their issues because I am no Tony Stewart fan. But all kidding aside, it's clear that something's kind of got to give. They are in a lull, in an extended lull, have been for several seasons. And I don't understand, frankly, again, I don't know why Tony doesn't sell. Nobody makes money in NASCAR. He doesn't love NASCAR anymore. I don't get it. I really don't. I just don't understand why he doesn't sell his portion. Adam, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you guys are doing Ryan Preece a little dirty there. I'm just, you know, I'm looking at the old stats here, pulling up the stat chat machine. Ryan Preece's average finish so far this year and last year with Stuart Haas, better than any of his JTG years. It's not great, but also he's also not the worst average finish this year on Stuart Haas. It's Josh Berry. I understand that you're probably going to stick with Josh Berry faster than you're going to stick with Ryan Preece, just because
I'm not sure why.
I mean, I just think, you know, maybe you're giving him a little more patience because he's newer to this car and, you know, he has some potential there. But it's tough when you've got Chase Briscoe and Noah Gragson both in the top 15 of average finish. It's not just SHR is completely doing terribly. Noah Gragson's shown some really great, you know, strides over the last few weeks, and Chase Briscoe is, you know, solid enough, I guess. You'd want better for what's supposed to be a top, you know, team like SHR, but I don't know. Yeah.
I think, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Adam. We're going on a topic with Josh Beer. I think, you know, we're almost halfway through this season, and he had some limited starts in last year in the next gen car. I think we can start kind of judging now on his performance. Now he's got a kind of taste of, you know, all of them, like, you know, most of the types of tracks that we see on the Cup Series schedule. But the one thing that he has that Ryan Preece doesn't is, you know, multiple sponsorship funding. He's got Sunny D, he's got Harrison, he's got a couple other, you know, pretty big ones to back him. I mean, I would give him at least one more. I would give him one more year to kind of see if he can turn those results around and, you know, maybe get a win or two. I think we've seen the Ryan Preece experiment, though.
I would agree. I think that Josh Berry probably deserves one more year before we, you know, throw the baby out the bathwater, so to speak. But we'll see what happens. Harrison Burton is unlikely to return to the Wood Brothers next season as it stands right now, according to Bob. Can't say I'm surprised. He's gotten every bit of opportunity you could possibly ask for from the Wood Brothers. Frankly, there's many that have thought he shouldn't have been back this season. I say as it stands right now because Bob said that given the struggles he's currently having, that does seem to imply they would reconsider if all of a sudden Harrison, you know, starts stringing some decent finishes together. And maybe he will. I have no idea. I'm not inclined to believe so, but I haven't the foggiest idea, truly. I don't know. When I think about who could take over that 21 car right now, nobody jumps out at me and goes, yeah, that's a definite upgrade. Because they downgraded, as it turns out, and say what you want about him, folks. I know, hot take here. They downgraded from Matty D to go to Harrison. And so that turned out to be a swing and a miss. What are your thoughts on that prediction, fellas? Adam, what say you on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with the results. We talk about it all the time. It's a results-driven business. He's having his worst statistical year. I know it's still early, so it's compared to two full years, but his average finish is 26.3, which is not good enough. And it's progressively gotten worse. He started at 22.8, then the next year was 24.6, and then this year he's at 26.3. So it's getting worse. Yeah. I think there's a certain, you got to give a little bit of patience for these young and up and coming drivers and give them time to like get used to the car, get used to the Cup Series. It's more of a grind. There's more stuff going on for sure. And the competition is harder, but this is trending in the wrong direction for Harrison Burton. And unless he can turn it around pretty quickly here, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I think it's the right decision to maybe send him back to Xfinity.
Matt, what say you? Harrison's seat is at least very hot at the Wood Brothers. Is there anybody that jumps out to you that could replace him?
I mean, if we're talking like free agents, potential free agents, I mean, replacing him, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Josh Berry, who I think he can put together a consistent run of things, and being in that Penske umbrella camp, as we're now basically in a column with the addition of FRM from Front Row Motorsports. I think he could might be able to turn around if he was in the 21 car. Now, in talking about Harrison Burton, though, I think he needs to take the Zane Smith approach and, you know, go back down to the trucks, go back down to Xfinity, you know, relearn those baby steps. He was one of those drivers when he was in Xfinity, you know, he had a good solid year or two that he didn't develop in my mind enough to get that opportunity in the cup car. In comparison to like guys like Christopher Bell, guys like Eric Jones in the past, you know, who spent, you know, 4 or 5 seasons developing the craft. I like the kid. I like Harrison Burton. He seems like a good young guy who's has a bright future. I just think he needs to take a step back and reevaluate, you know, his performances and kind of see, you know, where his mistakes are and where he has opportunities to execute and make those improvements.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I like Harrison Burton, you know, second generation driver. You know, he's built and bred for this, but I think he was rushed up, and I think that cutting off his development is really wreaking havoc right now, in my estimation. I think a step back for a season or two and then wait for the right opportunity, a la John Hunter Nemechek, would be probably just what the doctor ordered for Harrison. I don't think his story's over, but I think he needs to take a step back. All right, let's talk about the charter negotiation update. We get a lot of mixed signals. It's like an inconsistent relationship here with the charters. NASCAR owners say we're close, NASCAR brass says we're close. The owners say, we ain't close. We are football fields. We are a Bowman Gray Stadium worth away. And then today it came out, thanks to Adam Stern of the SBJ, that Sports Business Journal, that the France family is considering an option where maybe they buy into a team with the new charter agreement. Adam, help break this down a little bit.
Yeah, I was just made aware of this before we came on to air. So I don't know if I fully understand, but I guess part of the original charter agreements was that the France family could not have any ownership as far as teams go or any charters go. And part of that is because, you know, it's a conflict of interest. You're the governing family, I guess, the governing body of the sport. And if you had a team, you know, if there's any sort of like, you know, borderline margin calls that need to be made on that team, and you're seen as giving any sort of preferential treatment to them, that's not great, right? And so apparently, I mean, this is all through like leaked sources too, right? So we never really know what's accurate, but apparently one of the new drafts of what NASCAR brass has kind of put forth is allowing the France family to be an owner in the NASCAR Cup Series and in the charter system. So apparently that has rubbed some people the wrong way. I understand it. I saw in that article something about how it was compared to Roger Penske owning IndyCar and then also having, you know, Team Penske drivers there, and they had a huge scandal a few weeks back there when they had to disqualify their top two drivers. And so, I mean, yeah, it's good that they disqualified them if they were cheating, but still, it opens the door for some sort of abuse of power.
Abuse,
you know,
of power, you want nothing to do with an abuse of power. I mean, we don't want. You're opening yourself up for some sort of dictatorship or something if the France family were to get involved with NASCAR. Now, that article did point out that technically Brian France could buy into a team because he's no longer an employee of NASCAR, doesn't work for NASCAR Holdings. Matt, did you see this article? Have you seen this piece of news? Kind of interesting. I hope this doesn't come to pass. What's your thoughts?
I have not seen the article, so I can't put a strong opinion to it at the moment. But just from hearing from what Adam and you have talked about, I'll have to actually go back and actually find and read it because
I'll send it to you.
That would be great to get a full understanding about it because I am a little confused with it. But in saying that, you know, someone like Brian France could buy into a team, just it rubs me the wrong way a little bit in terms of, you know, this is the, you know, family that founded NASCAR. Why is he buying into a team to, you know, support them or to have any sort of sway? I don't know. It's one thing to have the grandson of Bill France, Ben Kennedy, in an executive position, who is a former driver, you know, to have some sort of control, but he's not buying in any teams right now. It just part of it rubs me the wrong way. But I will have to take a look into the actual article to formulate a more educated opinion on it.
Just send it your way, my friend, just for a little post-show reading time, if you so desire. Just interesting to think about. I don't think it comes to pass. The France family has made clear they would like – they're not opposed to ever – they don't want to end the charters. But the big sticking point, it seems, from what I gather, because this is, again, kind of layman's terms, and I'm just a C-plus man, which makes me smarter than half of you. The big sticking point seems to be they want permanent charters to do the owners, but NASCAR says they can't do that because the media rights deals aren't permanent. They would like the charter agreements to go with the media rights deals. And I kind of understand that. I do because that is a serious source of revenue, and you see how that changes per the course of each media rights deal. So I kind of get their point. Hope they can reach some middle ground on that and get a deal done. I think they will. You know, I know it seems ugly right now, but how many times do we see ugly negotiations end in something? I mean, it happens.
Well, that's the thing. Like any of these leaks, that is just another negotiation tactic, right?
Could be. It's,
you're putting stuff out into the world to see what the public reaction is. And it's also, you know, you're posturing against the other side. So I think we won't know until we know. What's politics, actually happening?
Man, politics. Yeah, I tell you, that's what it's all about. And then new OEMs are wanting hybrid options before joining NASCAR. That's kind of interesting. Adam, I sent you this piece. What do you think of that? They want a hybrid option before they come on in.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I know NASCAR is working on a hybrid, you know, program. At the Clash this year, they were supposed to parade around this new hybrid car. All of that got kind of thrown to the, you know, to nothing because the rain came and, you know, I don't know if you remember, they moved the Clash one day early, so they ended up canceling that. We have not really heard or seen about it.
Was that hybrid or electric? I thought that was a fully electric race car.
Was it electric? Now I'm misremembering. So
if I'm remembering correctly, that they're supposed to be putting out like a sub series of kind of like Formula E but with stock cars, like electric stock cars. Yes. Now I know the whole rumor, I don't mean to keep cutting you off there, Adam, but I know the whole rumor has been circulating the last couple of years since the next gen has kind of came about the hybrid powertrain systems.
Yeah, you are right. I went back and looked. It was an all electric car, but I guess because, you know, good work, Matt. Yes, shut up, Logan. Yeah, I think the thing is for new OEMs to come and join the sport. You know, there's been rumors that, you know, is Honda want to come and join? I think these, you know, manufacturers out there are focusing their, you know, day to day cars that they're selling to, you know, normal everyday people. They're focusing on hybrid models. And so, you know, they want to be able to advertise that on a big stage like NASCAR. And so I imagine that they're saying, yeah, well, NASCAR, that's great, you know, but is there a way we can do this and at least make it appear that we're trying to be a little more environmentally friendly? So
here's what I don't necessarily understand. I get, like, you know, marketing, you know, the car you want to market, but currently we have the Ford Mustang, you know, America's and I think Canada's number one selling sports car out there. Sports car, not a hybrid. I don't think, like, they get the Mach-E for Mustang, but, like, that's a separate thing. Right now, we still have the Chevy Camaro for another year. We don't know if that's going to replace that from GM. There's some sort of rumor of Cadillac coming in, but that's another story. And if we're talking about new OEMs coming in, why isn't Toyota threatening to pull out if, you know, hybridization comes in? Because a lot of their, you know, everyday cars, their Camrys, their Corollas, they're hybrids. So is the market really, you know, wanting for hybrids, or they just don't have anything else that they can market?
I don't know. Yeah, it could just be excuses.
It's a great question. There's no doubt about that. It's a great question. Look, I think hybrid happens sooner rather than later. I really do.
I hate cutting it off. I should have done it in the first place. But I think in terms of a technology standpoint, I just had a thought in my mind. From technology standpoint, we see a catch up for NASCAR to come into the world of hybridization. And I said this time and time again on the show, in comment sections, on forums, that being a premier level of motorsports, F1's got hybrid systems, IndyCar's got hybrid systems, NASCAR should be at that level sooner rather than later. We didn't get electronic fuel injection until 2012. Why are we so late at getting these technological advances?
If you want my opinion on why that is, it's because we are a sport that as a fan base is very, very, very divided on where to go with the, because NASCAR, more than perhaps any other motorsport, has to balance the legacy, the tradition, the history, and the nostalgia, frankly, of yesteryear versus we need to be at the forefront and moving forward. But given that the average age of a NASCAR fan is somewhere around 58 years old, do you want to alienate that huge portion of your fan base? And so that is why I think they're always kind of, you know, kind of going off Steelers wheel and stuck in the middle with you. It really, they're in a pickle, because you can say, well, they need to evolve and yada, yada, yada. And damn it, their old fans won't die out anyway. But the average NASCAR fan is still 58. And when that is your bread and butter, and right now it is, you have to kind of, I don't want to say cater to that bread and butter, but you have to walk a fine line, if you will. So, Matt, any thoughts on that?
My last thoughts on it is we got to remember that, yes, the abbreviation NASCAR is National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing. A NASCAR stock car has not been stock since the late 70s. There's nothing stock about a stock car. So technology is going to keep moving forward. Whether someone who's older age in their 50s has been a fan for a long time, likes it or not. And the racing now is still better than it ever was. And it's going to keep being a good product on track.
It is. I'm glad I don't have to make these quandary decisions. Anywho, we got to keep moving it along. So let's do that. I'll just quickly touch on these headlines. Matty D is going to run the rest of the Xfinity season with Viking Motorsports. I think that's great. Look, I know that people have some different opinions on Matty D because he's a little controversial politically and doesn't kind of know time and place. But I will always believe in his talent. Is he a top-tier driver? No. But does he belong in the sport? In my estimation, yes. All right, let's keep moving along. And that means it's time for our weekend preview. Let's do it.
Just a quick question, though. Is, like, the Viking Motorsports, are they just a name and all their cars being prepared by RSS Racing?
That is my understanding. It's very odd on the entry list. I don't know what they are and what they aren't. There's so many makeshift. There's so many makeshift things in NASCAR. I remember a couple years ago, there was Pettyware Racing on every entry list.
Yes.
You know, it, just very. I don't know. It's such a mom and pop hook and crook little deal. All right, all three series are Darlington is throwback weekend. I gotta tell you, fellas, I'm not feeling the throwback vibe this year. I don't feel like a lot of teams are putting in a great effort, and it feels like this is just kind of ho hum. Adam, what say you?
Yeah, there's a couple good throwbacks, but it's not. It doesn't seem to have the pomp and circumstance that it has had in the last few years. Now just correct me if I'm wrong, because this is an inexperienced thing, but was the Southern 500 not originally the throwback weekend, or was that just because they moved Darlington to one race per year?
It was originally the throwback weekend, and then Fox got the when COVID happened, and then they acted like Darlington was going to be the new home base for a while. Remember, we did like five races at Darlington.
We did like three or four races in 2020. It was like, I like Darlington, but not that much.
Yeah.
Right.
I
feel like put it back at the Southern 500. I'm a little biased because I just booked my trip to the Southern 500 last night, so I'll be there this year. But I don't know. It's a little lackluster this year. I don't know. That's all I got.
Matt, have you noticed it's a little ho hum?
The one thing I've noticed, especially since COVID, since we, had the three, four races at Darlington, is that, now we're back down to two. I've seen kind of a split. We get some throwbacks during what should be our regular throwback weekend, and we get some throwbacks during the Southern 500, which is, the traditional weekend for it. So, I don't know. I look forward to Darlington every time we go there. It's a fun track. It's unpredictable with being, basically only a lane and a half wide for a racing surface. And when it comes to just the throwbacks themselves, when this whole thing started, it was like, we're going to do, 1970s or, 1980, like just eras of NASCAR, what we can throw back to. And now it's like, I noticed Brandon Jones in the Xfinity Series, he's throwing back to 2018 Dale Jr. with his one-off race at Richmond. It's like, I guess it's a throwback. It's 6 years old, but it looks like a brand new paint scheme. Like some either just look like they're brand new. There's nothing that looks like they're 23 years old. There's nothing that's nostalgic about it. There are a couple good ones out there though, like Alpha Prime has their Kyle Petty Hot Wheels throwback there. William Byron's got this Jeff Gordon one from 2009, which. I'll call it throwback. It's 15 years old. That's fine. I mean, that's good.
Look, I know one that Freddie's partial to, Kyle Larson, going back to Texas Terry.
Yes, sir. Texas Terry. It kind of sucks. They weren't able to get Kellogg's back on board, but I mean, for that one race. But when you get the special ones that, to get the sponsor and the scheme all right, I mean, those to me is that special in my heart, because like, you're going back right to that car and putting it back in those moments, especially if it's ones that I've watched, and it's like, they're great. But no, there are some notable ones, but there are also some just real lackluster ones too.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to have the same feel it typically does.
Yeah.
Indy cars at the Indy Road Course again. It's the month of May. They run Indy. They run Indy out the Buku, as my dog sneezes, at the Buku this month. Eric Jones will be back in the 43 this weekend. That's pretty darn nice. No matter if you're a fan of it like I am or not, it's good that he's. I mean, already healthy enough to get. And he could have been in the car last week. They opted to just take one more week. So that's wonderful that he'll be back. We got to keep moving along, so that means it's time for an update. Let's do it, Adam. It's time for an update on Racing Refresh picks.
What a redemption story would be for Eric Jones to get his third win at Darlington in a comeback race.
Wouldn't it be?
Listen, all right. Don't get Logan too excited, okay?
Wouldn't it be?
Quick update on the Racing Refresh picks. Matt, you did a good job last week. You picked for Colin, but you picked Bowman. He finished the best out of our four picks. He finished P7. We've got our current score update.
I was watching a race, and I was like looking at that score card going by. I was like, man, he's dropping by down to 18s, 20s. Like, come on, Bowman. And finally, that last restart. All right, looking pretty good.
There you go. Producer Peggy is still in the lead. Logan and I are tied, and Colin was pretty far back. So you've brought him back into the conversation, I guess. But there you go. We're gonna have you pick again for him this week, but I get to pick first just because I sucked last week. I wasted a William Byron pick, and he came 23rd. Very upsetting. So we are looking at Darlington. Oh gosh, I haven't even looked at my stats here. I forgot I was first up. I know this is making for great, podcasting here. I am going to, I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin. He's been pretty good lately, so I'll take Hamlin. Next up is Logan.
Mr. Carabine, I have a question.
Yes.
I was going to take who you just took, literally. That was my thought. I wanted to know, have I taken him yet?
You have not taken Hamlin yet.
All right, so I could have took him. All right.
You could have.
But
it's, you know, Darwin. It's too bad.
It's Darwin.
Uh-oh.
Eric Jones is back.
I did mention a comeback story.
By God, I believe.
Are you choosing Eric Jones?
Give me that Jones, boy.
All right. Very good. Let's bring in producer Peggy. She's got to make her her pick here.
I was going to take Eric Jones. So instead, I will take Tyler Reddick.
All right. And finally, Matt, in place of Colin.
Okay. Okay, if I picked Bowman last week, who has he picked in the last?
I can read them all to you. He's picked Keselowski, LaJoy, Jones, Gregson, Hosovar, Truex, Wallace, Gibbs, Buescher, and then you picked Bowman last week.
Let's go with Let's go with Willie B.
All right. There you go. Tune in next week. See if anyone can. Actually, to be honest, I don't think anyone can even catch Peyton this week. She is firmly atop the standings there, but we gotta start clawing back here. So there you go. Thanks, guys.
It is a process, and speaking of processes, every episode of Race and Refresh Happy Hour is a process, and we have to end that process. Let's end it with some closing time.
Alrighty.
All righty. Producer Peggy, final words.
My final words are Happy Mother's Day to anyone who has ever birthed a child. If you've ever birthed a child, I hope you get a flower for it. That's all.
That was one of the strangest final words we've ever done.
Freddie
has a final comment for us. His picks for Darlington are Kyle Busch for Trucks, Cole Custer for the Xfinity Series, and he says Cup's going to be Larson or Hamlin. I think all those are solid picks. Yep. Hamlin was going to be my pick until Adam, Morton. Great minds, they think alike.
Well, you know what, Logan? It looks like you might get to pick first next week. So,
Matt Moore, thanks for joining us. Final words.
Absolutely. Anytime. I much appreciate being your super sub for all these. I hope I will soon be a mainstay on the show. I always love being part of these and giving my thoughts, opinions, and everyone with the hard facts. And yeah, I mean, as like Bruce Peggy said, Happy Mother's Day this, for this coming weekend to anyone who has birthed a child, is a mother. And as my mom said, I was the best Mother's Day gift she ever had. Birthday this weekend, yeah, be a fun time. I'm gearing up this weekend myself to take it some local short track racing. So,
all right, well,
be a good weekend.
Well, and Darlington, even when that place eats tires like it's its job, sure do love it. Sure do love it. And Adam Carabine, final word.
Well, first I'll say happy birthday to Matt this week. Enjoy it, sir. Have a good one. Even though you guys are turning like 13, all of you. yeah, another
15.
It's older than you guys. That's all I know. I don't want to even think about it. Another great show. Thanks, guys. And just started doing some power rankings on the site last week. Those will be up again this week. We got the freshies coming out as well. I don't know. I'm just trying new things here, left, right, and center. So come check out racingrefresh.com. We'd love to entertain you with or make you mad or whatever it might be. I don't know. Just come and check out our website. So thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Absolutely. Adam Carabine, I join you in that. Please, please, racingrefresh.com. Go check it out. Buy a t-shirt. Buy a sticker. Just help us. We appreciate you. My final words are thanks, Matt, for coming on. Happy early birthday, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
For producer Peggy, thanks for loving me. Adam, thanks for tolerating me. And thank you for watching. And until next time, we'll see you at the next track.